Romy, before we get back to homeowner issues, I want to bring up something that I stumbled across just in reading. All of you are regular listeners of the show. Know how much we love Arizona and how much we love the wildlife of Arizona and the flora and the fauna. Here is a series of seminars coming up that if my kids were still living at home, I would put them down in front of the computer and I would make them watch these seminars. The Arizona Game and Fish Department are going to have virtual lectures on different wildlife species found throughout Arizona. On October 7th, they're going to have one on bats. On October 14th, they're going to have one called The Origins of the Sonoran Desert. And on November 9th, they're going to have one on the interesting lives of black bears. So if you're sick and tired of the television entertainment that is offered to us every evening, this is an excellent option. I'm going to get my computer and I'm going to log on to these lectures for Why Bats Are Incredibly Misunderstood, The Origins of the Sonoran Desert, and The Interesting and Complicated Lives of Black Bears. They're being held in conjunction with the Southwest Wildlife Conservation Center, which saves harmed wildlife one life at a time. And these lectures, and I'm just going to screen share it onto the big screen TV, and this is what Jennifer and I will be watching those nights. Just an excellent way to beat the horrible industry of television entertainment. Okay, there's my little, I learned it, living in the ICU on my back. I got to where I hated turning that stupid TV on because you couldn't turn it on without watching every form of social dysfunction on the planet. There's no more Mayberries. There's no more I Love Lucy's. There's no more fun, healthy, wholesome shows.
The one thing on the bat lecture I want to know, how can we get those things to eat every mosquito on the face of the earth?
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe part of it will be why bat houses don't work too well in Arizona. As our fishing game guest was sharing with us the other night. One of the things we were talking about recently is clogging drains and taking care of your waistlines. And we kind of got on that topic with Howard's toilet down in Casa Grande. How many of you have home remedies? I went back after 1 year of college up in Fort Collins. I went back and I lived with my grandparents, and my grandfather was a pharmacist, and he owned a few Rexall drug stores through South Louisiana. And we had a hunting and fishing camp that was out on the bayou that had less than a reliable plumbing system. It drained into a septic tank, but it was old, and he had a home remedy for clearing waistline drains, and it involved baking soda, vinegar, and boiling water. And he would take a cup of white vinegar. He'd take the baking soda and he'd pour it down the drain and leave it. And then he would pour a cup of white vinegar and not turn the water on and not do anything. Just let it sit in there. And then the next morning, he would pour boiling hot water down through that mixture. And that's how he maintained the waste system at the fish camp and at his own home. Home remedy, how to clear a clogged drain. And we got off on the topic last week during the Repella broadcast about a product that Jennifer has become a big fan of. For maintaining, caring, and cleaning for your system. We've used a product called BioClean for years, which was actually a protein that you flushed down your waistlines, and the protein or the product ate all of everything that was inside your waistline and cleaned it out eventually. And we had really good luck with that. So we've got the home remedy plan. We've got the BioClean product. And then there was another product y'all recently discovered you really like.
It's BioPros. And they only started with the one product, which we've tried. And it's to, clean out that tank and neutralize it. And it has done an amazing job. But they've come out with a whole line of products that I've written to try. And one of them is to clean the pipes. So we'll keep you posted. But for those who live in a home septic tank, you'll appreciate the product.
And what's it called again?
BioPros.
P-R-O-S.
P-R-O.
Okay.
Pro. Yeah.
Pro. Okay.
All right. Well, it looks like we're going to spend the majority of the day in the toilet.
It's one of those topics when one call happens, yeah. It gets, it spawns four or five more.
So let's bring Desiree into the conversation. Miss Desiree, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Rosie.
How can we help you?
I just put in brand new toilets, and they're low-flow toilets. But they just don't get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
We even put the toilet paper in the waste basket, and so just the waste goes down the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
We end up flushing two or three times. What can we do to switch the low-flow toilet over to a regular toilet?
Well, unfortunately, you would have to go find somebody who's remodeling an old home and pull out a 6-gallon flush and bring it.
Finding one is going to be near impossible.
I would just first ask, how's the pressure in the home? Do you have enough water pressure?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what drove you to replace the toilets in the house?
Oh, we just remodeled the bathroom. And wanted to save energy and, water.
Yeah. Well, it's code.
It seems like, I'm flushing two, three times, and that doesn't seem like I'm going to be saving any water.
Well, you're not. And it's a code requirement that any licensed contractor with a permitted project has to install the low flow. But I'm going to tell you.
Right, and I did.
Okay. And I'm going to tell you, Desiree, that not every low-flow toilet is created equal.
When they first came out about 15 years
ago. They were
ago,
all horrible.
Everyone was like this, but we really haven't seen that much. So I don't want – we'll ask you off air because we don't want to badmouth any brand name. And but like Rosie said, not all of them are created equal. And, some of the styles and design, we may not have the tank high enough from the bowl, so the gravity pressure's not there, the way the jet streams, so there are very good low flow toilets out there.
There are. We're installing them and putting them in bathrooms every day, and they are working. And I can't appreciate what you're going through, because that is especially and particularly aggravating. All right, one of the things we were going to talk about today.
Our weekly to-dos on LED bulbs. This really has a holiday theme to it just because we're coming up.
We're coming there.
If you are one of those homeowners that do a lot of home decorating, I'm still going, one of those things, it comes around every year. Like inventing a strand of Christmas lights that when one bulb goes bad, doesn't kill the whole
string.
The whole string. And an easier way to replace those. But LED bulbs, some of the newer strands, those could eliminate that problem because you're not pulling out the bulbs and replacing the new ones. And there's a lot of different things you can do with these LEDs and the color schemes and being able to change and program things differently. But it's that time of year to start.
You can put up one string and not be stuck with the same color all holiday season.
It's time to pull out and start getting ready. It's one of those things that you're doing it now ensures you help get it done, because if you're like, it's not close enough, doesn't mean you have to turn on the lights now. But if you get it out and start stringing them, because what happens when you get close to the Christmas shopping? You're rushed for the family coming over, or for this party that's coming, or this shopping that you're going to be doing, and it comes and goes.
And it comes fast. So if you're going to be pulling out your Christmas decorations, Jennifer Jennifer was at the storage facility just yesterday pulling out all of her Thanksgiving, fall, and Halloween decorations. So I know I'll be seeing them go up in the house here in the next couple weeks for sure. But if when you get to pulling out your holiday lights and they're all in a rat's nest tangled and you plug them in and only half of them work, I would encourage you not to spend the time to untangle them and seek out. If they're the old incandescent bulbs, you really should take a look at the LED strips. They're harder to break. They last much, much longer. And they use a fraction of the electricity. A fraction. You'll actually see your December utility bill. If you're one of these heavily decorated yards, you will see your utility bill go down.
I don't even think Frank Griswold could overload a circuit with LED.
With LED, probably not. Probably not. So they're longer lasting. They don't overheat. There's many different shapes and sizes, and they're harder to break. So now all we have to do is find out how to roll them up in January when we're putting them back up. So that there's you. It seems like no matter how careful you roll them and put them away, there's some little demons in those boxes all year long, tying them into knots for when you reopen them the next year. So LED bulbs, they're not hard to find. They're everywhere. They're all but replacing the old incandescent. And we would encourage you for what they'll save you in electricity and for the ease that they will add to you. They're lighter weight. They're much smaller. Be easier to untangle. LED holiday lighting. You can find more information about that on our website, rosieonthehouse.com.
Texter wants to know, popcorn ceiling removal. It's been so long since we've taken a call or a question on that. I thought we had got them all removed, but not yet. This homeowner wants to know, what do I do with my two ceiling fans? How do I take them down? Well, ceiling fans actually pretty easy. You don't need any power tools. A Phillips head screwdriver will probably do all of it. You'll take the blade off one by one. There'll be two Phillips head screwdrivers. You need to be able to stand on a ladder. If you can climb up and down safely, then you can do this job. And as you take off one, you'll notice it'll tilt because the balance is off, and it'll keep doing that. That's fine. It can support the weight. You don't have to worry about that. Once you take all of the blades off, depending on who's doing the work, you can really stop there. Just wrap it in plastic to keep all that popcorn from falling off and into the motor, because that's not such a big enough area that a guy with a blade and, you know, if it's a hopper, they're doing trowel, they can work around that. You can stop there, and that's where I would tell you to stop if you feel like you need to keep going. It's very simple at that point. You can just see the next row of screws it'll take and drop.
You got the little bonnet holding up against the ceiling covering the junction box.
Once you take that down, all you have to do is disconnect the wires. So make sure your circuit breaker's off to that room. And some of them don't even have anything mechanical. They're gravity fed. You pick it up and
it's like
bring it off
a ball and socket.
Yeah. So pretty easy project. You'll be done before the end of this broadcast if you start now.
And the way we would tell you to remove that, and it very probably has asbestos in it. So you're going to want to take some precautions.
And they're having it done.
And hopefully it's never been painted, because if it's ever been painted, it greatly complicates it. Any of you that want to take down this acoustic ceiling, you simply spray it with a water bottle, wet it, and make sure your floor is covered in plastic. We drape the plastic all the way up the wall, and then we allow everything, just take an 8-inch drywall knife once it's wet, and it literally just peels off.
And the guys that do it professionally, if they're also going to be
retexturing,
they'll actually put up two layers of plastic.
That's right.
So once they knock all the drywall down, they roll up the first, or the popcorn, acoustic ceiling. They'll roll it up, tape it, throw it out, and it's already prepped now.
Now
to
you
come back and
clean plastic to get back there and retexture. You're exactly right.